Monitor Music by Tony Mottola. You and only you. Crandall here, following a two-week absence, a little bit of vacation, and I'd like to thank both Gene Raven and Gary Moore for minding things around the old electronics store. Vacations are wonderful, but home is nice, too, because home is where you can remember where you put your pipe, you know, which is kind of handy. Today, Easter Sunday, is the most joyous day in the year on the Christian calendar. In just a few moments, the author of a new book on Pontius Pilate tells us what motivated the Roman prefect to sentence Christ to death and how Pilate's life ended. Monitor Music for Easter Sunday first. Here comes the association.
Surprise! Got the look in our eyes.
most significant and at the same time most obscure figures in history is the Roman judge of Judea, Pontius Pilate, the man who sentenced Jesus Christ to death. A new and fascinating biographical novel titled Pontius Pilate uncovers many little-known facts about Christ's trial, the political pressures of that first Good Friday, and the final end of Pilate himself. Its author, Paul Meyer, talks with Monitor reporter Ron Pabuda.
Dr. Meyer, what prompted you to write a book about Pontius Pilate?
Ron, I was amazed that here is certainly history's most familiar judge, presiding at the most dramatic trial in history, a man who is the other main personality of the Good Friday episode, and yet you find millions of books written about Jesus of Nazareth and never anything about Pontius Pilate. I was trying to figure out what were this governor's motives. Why did he knowingly condemn an innocent man? And I thought there was an untold story behind the Good Friday event. And so by checking this story from a Roman political background rather than the usual Christian or Jewish viewpoint, I was able, I think, to uncover some pretty exciting new information about the political implications of this trial.
Well, then, what were specifically the political implications under Roman society that prompted Pilate to make that decision?
I was able to show, first of all, that the crucifixion took place on the 3rd of April in the year 33. This is basic to understanding the politics. This is basic to understanding why Pilate felt himself pressured on that day. And once we had an absolute date for the crucifixion, then I was able to see and trace back into Roman political history and find out that a year before Good Friday, in 32 AD, the Roman Emperor Tiberius sent Pontius Pilate a special letter telling him that he had to uphold all the local religious laws and traditions. Therefore, with this mandate from the emperor, Pilate really had no alternative on Good Friday but to convict in the case of a person who was deemed by the local authorities to be guilty of blasphemy.
In other words, any political figure of that time in Pilate's position would have been forced into the same kind of decision.
I tend to think, after reading my book Pontius Pilate, that 99 out of 100 people would have decided exactly as he did on Good Friday in the case of a person who did not defend himself adequately under the canons of Roman law.
If it had been any other day, decision could have been different?
Well, if it would have been any other prisoner. In Christian theology, Jesus willed to die, you see, and this is the reason that the whole thing transpired as it did.
What do people commonly think the fate of Pontius Pilate was?
Suicide is the most common, and this comes from the church historian Eusebius, but I was able to show by a church historian 2 centuries earlier that he did not commit suicide. Although some of the other legends are very picturesque, in the Middle Ages, the stories of Pilate washing his hands for the rest of his life, paying the penalty of a parricide, that is, being put in a gunny sack with a rooster, a viper, and a monkey, and drowned in the River Tiber, but the River Tiber didn't want him, and so a convenient passing squad of demons took this mess and dropped it in the River Rhone up in France, and the Rhone River didn't want to be polluted in this fashion either. So eventually these demons took Pilate and this whole mess and dropped it in Lake Lucerne, which is the reason that there is a Mont Pilatus overlooking Lake Lucerne in Switzerland to this day.
If those conceptions are not true, what is the truth? What did happen to him?
Positively, Ron, we have no historical evidence other than that Pilate met a natural death. He may have spent out his years as a retired public service official, but nothing specific. Unfortunately, I just wish we had all the evidence. Then I could have written a biography rather than a biographical novel. As it is, about 90% of my book, however, is factually accurate. Although we do show a new and broader picture of Pontius Pilate, the church is accepting it in good grace.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Meyer, author of a biographical novel titled Pontius Pilate, an in-depth study of the man and his role in history's greatest story. For Monitor, Ron Pabuda.
Here's Tony Bennett. Let's dedicate this one to the Easter weekend high school and college students at Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Bermuda, Jamaica. It's titled A Place Over the Sun. How the heck do you get over the sun? Sing, Tony.
I dreamed last night of a place. Somehow it's over the sun. That land is waiting for us. There is a chance to begin a life of hope and relief, where everyone is a god. Found a way to make the flowers laugh so they could blink and smile when we would pass dreamed last night of a place somewhere it's over the sun. That land is waiting for us. There is a chance to begin our life of hope and relief, where everyone is a god. Had dreamed last night of a place. Somehow it's over.
Boating, swimming, water skiing, or just out in the backyard planting bulbs, feeding the lawn, or checking on winter kill. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
The Wonderful World of Teens is helping crippled children to a new and wonderful world of their own through volunteer service. And the teens who help the handicapped know what a good feeling it is to do something for someone who needs help. From Maine to California and in between, teenagers are serving the handicapped in hundreds of Easter SEAL centers. They undertake jobs which many times seem impossible. But thanks to youthful enthusiasm, no task is too difficult. They serve as aides, helping in nursery school and therapy or clerical programs. In some centers, they help raise money, which makes care of the handicapped possible. And in still other situations, they serve as counselors, kitchen boys, and aides in Easter SEAL camps. Yes, all across the country, there's a job to be done, and the Wonderful World of Teens is helping to do it. If you want to help, contact your local Easter SEAL Society.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Monitor once again at exactly 19 minutes after the hour. The lady's name is Sandy Shaw. The gentleman in question, Monsieur DuPont.
The rain was falling down as I flew out of town. I went to Paris for the day. And there I got to know a certain Romeo with a gentle continental way. Monsieur DuPont, Monsieur DuPont, you made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. Monsieur DuPont, I know it's wrong, but I don't ever wanna go home anymore. You said hello to me, I began to say that I could fall in love with you. I seem to realize the kind of paradise your continental kiss could lead me to. Monsieur DuPont, Monsieur DuPont, you made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. I know it's wrong.
new these days at the movies? For the answer, or at least one answer, let's check in with Monitor's movie critic, Gene Shalit.
A big new musical opened in New York this week called Sweet Charity. It's directed by Bob Fosse, who's never before directed a movie. Listen, I'll tell you something. He still hasn't directed a movie. Bob Fosse is a famous choreographer who's won all kinds of awards for creating dances on Broadway. In fact, he did the dances for Sweet Charity when it was on Broadway. And now that Sweet Charity's a movie, he not only directed the dances, they let him direct the whole picture. I understand Fosse got the assignment because Shirley MacLaine insisted on him. What I want to know is, who insisted on Shirley MacLaine? She's the star of Sweet Charity, but this is a musical, and her dancing's routine, and her singing is weak. On the other hand, the story isn't much. They tell me Sweet Charity cost $10 million to make, and an investment of $10 million ought to provide more interest. Here's the story. Shirley MacLaine is a dime a dance girl who's fed up. She wants real love and marriage and a family. Sweet Charity is almost 3 hours of her not finding it. But while she's looking, she dances a lot and mugs a lot and crinkles her eyes a lot. And all of a sudden, there's Sammy Davis Jr., singing and dancing like a madman in a parking garage that has nothing to do with this movie. It's as if the director said, "We interrupt this movie to bring you a nightclub act." Well, Sweet Charity needs a lot more than irrelevant dances to make it bearable. It's too long, and it's too flat, and the tickets are too expensive. Charity begins at home, and home is where I think you ought to stay when Sweet Charity comes around. This is Gene Shalit from Monitor.
Isn't he sweet? Thank you, Gene. Remind me never to invite you, Shirley MacLaine, and Bob Fosse to the same party.
Another day, the sun will set upon the empty hours of a lonely man. There beyond my searching eyes remains the one and only dream I'm hoping for. Deep within me, I'll feel that secret tingling that will light my smile to guide me to your side.
Yarbrough on Monitor. The following word on behalf of Easter Seals. What do Easter Seals do? Well, they help restore crippled children to usefulness for themselves and the community. They help handicapped adults to push back their special limitations and regain purpose. They help to support scientific inquiries into the causes of crippling and ways of improving the effectiveness of the rehabilitation process. Isn't it nice to know that your gift to Easter Seals does so much for so many? Please give to Easter Seals. Why not mail it off today, Easter Sunday, while you're thinking about it? It's never too late.
Well, I've been
Reliable Tijuana brass sound, Herb Alpert out front, and Zazueta. Viva! And while we're tossing bouquets, let's send one to Madison, Wisconsin, home of our monitor voice station, WIBA. We'll continue to spend Easter with you right after your favorite station gives its name, rank, and serial number. Brad Crandall here. We'll be back shortly. NBC, the place to be not only weekends with us, Monitor, but 7 days a week. I'm Brad Crandall, and may I be the last to wish you a happy Easter. By this time, the eggs have all been located, the chocolates have all been finished, the ham sliced almost to the bone. Ah, but wasn't it a great day? Oh, and how about that hat on Mrs. Frisbee at church this morning? Did you see that? Oh, no, I mean, you know, really. Rockets on a bed of purple snapdragon. A very energetic Sammy Davis putting one note after another.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for it, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life,
to feel the powerful beat, to feel the tingle in your fingers, to feel the tingle in your feet. Daddy, go, 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 go.
Daddy spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built up quite an operation down below.
With the fire piper blowing, while the mustard tail was flowing, all the cats were go-go-going
down below.
Daddy was a new sensation, built up quite an operation down below.
To your daddy, take a dive and swim to your daddy.
Hit the floor and drop to your daddy.
Next, on the line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
General William C. Westmoreland, who commanded U.S. forces in Vietnam for 4.5 years, and his commander for a part of that period, Admiral Ulysses Simpson Grant Sharp, have issued an official report on the war. The 347-page paperback goes on sale tomorrow at the government printing office in Washington. $6. I'll be back with some of its contents. But first, here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
Baby, baby, baby child, soft and sweet, meek and mild.
Getting ready for a new baby is a wonderful experience. It's a time of warmth and closeness and love. And a time for lots of medical bills you won't have to worry about if you have Mutual of Omaha Health Insurance. The Mutual of Omaha man right in your own community can show you how all-around family protection can pay more of your hospital and doctor bills, and even up to $600 in maternity benefits. It makes sense, doesn't it, to be ready for the high cost of hospital and doctor bills. And it's so easy when you count on the man from Mutual of Omaha, the company that babies you, so you can baby your baby.
As dear as you are today.
Those who find it hard to understand why we have 500,000 and more men in Vietnam fighting, while a 6 men sit around a table in Paris arguing, will find no easy solutions in Report on the War in Vietnam by General Westmoreland and Admiral Sharp. Their voluminous document, well illustrated with maps and photographs, is the first of its kind to emerge from this war. It will be prime source material, I gather, for the many eventual histories of a war that this past week became the fourth costliest in U.S. history in the matter of men killed. The report's accounts of the turning point of the war make interesting, if somewhat puzzling, reading. The turning point, the beginning of the big escalation in the bombing of North Vietnam, came in August 1964. On August 2nd of that year, the destroyer Maddox, cruising 28 miles off the coast of North Vietnam, picked up 3 blips on its radar. The boats, judged to be PT boats, were approaching at high speed. One of them, the report says, managed to launch what appeared to be 2 torpedoes, which missed by approximately 200 yards. Another fired his machine gun at the Maddox from 1,700 yards away. One bullet ricocheted into a ready service magazine. This, the report says, was an unprovoked attack on a ship of the United States on the high seas. There was another abortive attack 2 nights later. The Maddox, now joined by another destroyer, the C. Turner Joy, picked up blips on their radar, heard torpedo noises on their sonars. At dawn, 64 strike aircraft were launched from the aircraft carriers Ticonderoga and Constellation. The fighter bombers knocked out the PT boat facilities with the loss of 2 planes. President Johnson said it was a measured response, but it was not intended to start a war with North Vietnam. Secretary Rusk said it was done to prevent a communist miscalculation that we would not reply in kind. That was the nucleus of what became a massive reaction on both sides. It became the duty of the 2 high-ranking authors of this report to carry out the subsequent policies of the government. They outlined that difficulty in these terms. Every war has its own distinctive features. The Vietnam War has been characterized by an invading army that denied its own existence, by guerrilla fighters who lived among the people they threatened, by the employment of highly sophisticated modern communist weapon systems, and by carefully controlled limitations on the activities of the American field commanders, imposed less by the capabilities of their own forces and weapons than by considerations of international politics. I guess that tells it all. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
Baby, baby, baby child, soft and sweet, meek and mild.
A new baby doesn't have to mean new medical bills to worry about if you're insured with Mutual of Omaha. Not when they pay you up to $600 in maternity benefits. Get all the happy facts from the Mutual of Omaha man in your neighborhood. Call him today.
On the Line with Bob Considine has been brought to you by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
The Federal Bar Association reminds us that freedom depends on the rule of law. The law protects you. Respect it. Uphold it. Obey it. And here to help promote respect for the law and for those who enforce it is Gene Rayburn.
Every game must have rules, whether it's baseball, football, bridge, or a television game show, because without rules, there would be no game. Now, that holds true in the game of living, too. Most of us consider ourselves pretty good citizens. We obey the laws, recognize that freedom is a responsibility. Unfortunately, there'll always be a few who do not recognize this responsibility, and that means the rest of us should extend full cooperation to all law enforcement agencies and our local police force. For they're the ones who ensure our safety and the safety of our families. They need our support and cooperation to make sure these laws are honored and obeyed. We urge you to assist them in every way possible.
You have just heard pre-recorded Gene Rayburn speaking in behalf of the Federal Bar Association in support of its law observance program.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Peppermint Rainbow in their latest at exactly 13 minutes before the monitor hour. I guess it really is later than we all think, as witness that quaint news item this week concerning the latest form of military draft protesting. Guy stripped down to just his shoes and his shorts and stood with a sign outside his draft board. A couple of passers-by commenting on the scene concluded the guy obviously didn't want to go in the draft. Fine, but didn't he know he was already standing in one?
I remember when we were children playing in the fields. I loved you truly even then, and you know I always will. Climbing over creek banks down by the cotton gin, chasing Papa's billy goat, tearing my petticoat. You cried when I got a whipping. You cried when my puppy died. Just because I cried, and I've heard you laugh, when in my heart, I knew you wanted to cry, and when the truth might have hurt me, I've heard you tell a lie, and that is why. First baby child,
I live within the bright anticipation of your smile. Even in the bad times, seems like you'd never give in. Standing behind me, fighting for me blindly and crying when I get a whipping. You cried when my puppy died, just because I cried.
Nancy Sinatra on Monitor. Monitor's Ring Around the World, a close-up of people and events, both at home and abroad, brought to you by General Motors Acceptance Corporation, GMAC financing for cars, trucks, appliances. An upbeat of tourism in France. That story from George Lewis, NBC News in Paris, in just 1 minute.
A car is to call your own for the very first time while you're young enough to enjoy it. Car is to go out with your girl in. Even better, to take her home in. Not to complicate your life with. That's why there's a GMAC, General Motors Acceptance Corporation. In our 50th year of helping people finance their cars and trucks and appliances easily, quickly, at reasonable cost. We've worked out all the hang-ups for your car, car insurance, creditor life insurance, with a General Motors dealer who uses GMAC. All this so you remember your first car with love and affection. We wouldn't have it any other way. GMAC financing. We uncomplicate things.
Now, George Lewis, NBC News, Paris.
The improved Franco-American political climate is good news to the people who make money out of French tourism. For the first time in years, they're hoping to reverse the trend that's seen American travelers shun this country as under-friendly and overpriced. But they're aware the deep-seated American belief that the French have turned tourist fleecing into a national sport won't be erased by the mere fact that General de Gaulle and President Nixon are currently saying nice things about one another. So the French government tourist office has gone all out to demonstrate that France really isn't that expensive, that the legendary high prices of hotels and restaurants are a myth, although the tourist office doesn't explain how this particular myth came about. One can hardly open one's mail these days without finding a communication from the tourist people favorably comparing various prices here with those in tourist bargain basements like Spain and Greece. It is a fact that this year France does offer something new and inexpensive, the western Mediterranean seashore that's now being called France's California. This area, west of Marseille and extending to the Spanish border, used to be a mosquito-ridden marsh. But its climate is just as good as that of the long fashionable Riviera, and its beaches are far better. The French government took a billion-dollar decision a few years ago to develop it as a popular resort area. This summer is the first that it will be in full-scale operation. The hotels are new, the beaches spick and span, and the price is right. But perhaps you'd better hurry. George Lewis, NBC News, Paris.
Ring Around the World, another in our weekend series of close-ups of people and events, both at home and abroad. Now a Monitor Music close-up of Andy Williams.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no other for their love. It's my heart. changed my life so completely. Music fills my soul now. I've lost all control now. I'm not half, I'm whole now with your love. It's my
study monitor listener, and I'm sure you are, then you heard earlier today that the scheduled nude in on Fort Lauderdale's beaches in Florida sort of fizzled, right? Well, not exactly. You might say it was halfway successful. One girl lost her bra. Yeah. Giving equal time to the fully clothed, however, Fifth Avenue's annual Easter parade went off as scheduled under clear, blue, sunny skies, mild temperatures, and the alert eyes of the news cameraman. One of the most bizarre hats was constructed around a metal can, the kind you use for storing motion picture film. Hanging from the so-called hat were make-believe curls of 35-millimeter film and audio recording tape in a brilliant color motif with silver, red, and orange. And if you think that's something, you should have seen the hat that was being worn by this guy's girlfriend. Of your mind, Billy Vaughn. Today, a day synonymous with religion. Easter Sunday for Christians, Passover for Jews, and it's also a day which marks the founding of one of America's major churches. On this day in 1830, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the formal name for the Mormon Church, was founded by Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. For the names and events making great changes in the news across the country and worldwide, too, stay tuned for NBC Monitor News on the Hour. This is Brad Crandall.
Stop! Don't touch the dial! We'll be back on Monitor in just a while! On NBC!
Hi, Big Wilson here. Ever hear about the farmer who watered his tomato plants with whiskey instead of water? He wanted to grow stewed tomato.
Oh!
Is that worth 5,000 Triple S blue stamps? Well, I think so. And so will you when you listen to my show and find out why. The Big Wilson Show, weekdays, 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 660.
This is Joel Bryan, and I wonder how many of you listening in have ever stopped to give a moment's thought to the importance of medical research to our health and well-being. The deftness of the surgeon, the skilled diagnosis of the doctor, new and better medicines, these are all the results of medical research. To combat such long-term diseases as cancer, arthritis, cerebral palsy, and leukemia, please send a contribution today to Chronic Diseases, Brooklyn, New York, 1-1203. Thank you.
The Big Wilson Show. It's man-sized. Weekdays, 9 to noon. on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.